everyone, and welcome to the Ramblecast. I am your host, Chris Cesarano, and it has been quite a few weeks, but joining me, my friend from the north, where it must be a cold snowing even in June, Jerry.
Hell no, it's hot as hell and humid up here right now, and it's been raining like hell this week.
You're lying. Canada's full of snow and moose.
Yeah, parts of it still are, but yeah.
So, it's just the two of us this week because, I don't know, I planned poorly or something. I don't know. No one's ever available.
Everyone's busy.
Everyone's busy. But this week we have a show where we just want to, leading up to E3, we want to have just a discussion on, you know, well, E3, you know, is it good for the industry? Is it bad? What do we think it'll look like in the future? And even so, like, where I actually want to start is nostalgia. But before we get to that, a couple of announcements. Firstly, Jerry, even though maybe this will be up in time for the Bethesda, let everyone know, like, you're going to be streaming us discussing the conferences.
Yeah, this is kind of like the thing Giant Bomb does. We're going to do sort of our own version of it, basically. We're going to be... I'll be basically on my Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/PX Abstraction. We're going to be basically rebroadcasting the conference, as it were. I'll be playing one of the live streams, and you and me, and for some of them, my friend Keymaster, and hopefully some other people are going to be on there, just sort of giving our real time impressions of it as we go. And if people come in the chat, we'll be interacting with them about it, and just sort of talking about what we see off the cuff as we see it. I think that's going to be fun. I've always wanted to do something like that, and I've kind of got the means to do it now, so I'm hoping to get the technical stuff sorted in the next couple of days. But if you just Google for E3 2015 press conference schedule, you can get a whole bunch of different hits where everything is. We're hoping to be doing a stream of basically all of them. So that's Bethesda, Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, Sony. Nintendo's doing a couple of things I don't know if we'll be able to do or not, but they're little things. Square Enix is doing one, and there's an event called the PC Gaming Show, which I'm not so sure about. It's the first one of those they're doing, so we might do that one as well. But it should be interesting to see these announcements and sort of be able to talk about them as a group in real time. So, the first one of these is the Bethesda Show, which is on Sunday night, June 14th at... It says 7 Pacific, so that's going to be 10 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to try also to actually record the streams as well so that I can put them up on my YouTube channel later. So if you can't attend, there will hopefully be a way for you to watch them later. At the very least, there'll be Twitch VODs. So there'll be ways to do it, but live's always better because you guys can yak with us while we're doing it.
And what is the address to your Twitch channel?
That is twitch.tv/PX Abstraction, or if that's too hard to remember, because it is for a lot of people, if you just go to geekbravado.com, that's my blog, which has links to all my stuff in the top bar, so you can get to it from there as well. I'm actually going to put a blog entry up tonight as well, just reminding people that that's happening, so you can get to it from there.
All right. And yeah. As for myself, I have a very special announcement. If you just so happen to be in the greater Philadelphia area and are looking forward to, what day is it? The Too Many Games is going to be June 26th, 27th, and 28th. I'm going to be there June 27th, both as a representative of Extra Life, but I also have a panel there where I will be talking with Joey. You might remember him from the Japanese Games episode, and you might also remember him from some of the Norwood Film Club episodes. He'll be there with me, and as well as another friend of mine, Doug, and we're going to be talking just games writing in general, similar to the articles that I've written on Let's Talk Games Writing. So we're going to be doing that at Too Many Games. So if you're in the greater Philadelphia area, look up TooManyGames.com, and hopefully next week we will have one of the co-founders or I don't remember her title, but we'll have one of them on this podcast to talk after E3 stuff. So that's next week's episode, and hopefully she'll be on and she'll be able to talk a little bit of Too Many Games. So hopefully, if you're in the greater Philadelphia area, look up TooManyGames.com. I'll be there. My panel is, again, Saturday, June 27th, 3:55 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. in panel 3. Which is a weird time schedule, but it's hey, I mean, I get a panel where I get to talk about games writing. So
hopefully you'll get
hopefully you get to see me. And again, next week we'll be talking our thoughts on the current E3 show. But right now, more that we're going to be talking just E3 in general, kind of like, because it's one of those things that I know a lot of people kind of grow more cynical about every year, and it's kind of easy to. And a lot of the gaming press, so many podcasts I've listened to have basically talked about how it's no fun anymore to go to E3 if you're press. Even the very positive Jeff Cannata on DLC and everything, they were kind of negative about it and everything. So I wanted to talk about, from someone that never had to or was able to go to E3, just ever since it became this bigger thing online, like we've been able to stream the videos and everything, I actually wondered, like, have I ever been nostalgic for hype? Like, you can be nostalgic for a game or your experience of playing a game, but is there do you ever look back on a time when you were hyped for a game? You just remember that excitement of looking at a stream or something. And I don't know, like, maybe I actually have young listeners here. I don't know. Maybe I gained some listeners from the Steamroll Dig episode. But I'm actually curious, like, how many people, like, have these streaming press conferences been a regular thing? Like, that's how they've always known E3, because I still remember being in high school when we first got DSL, and that was a big deal, and having this really tiny window of a really horrible resolution of the first footage of the Area 51 game on Xbox, the original Xbox, and I was psyched for a couple of reasons, one of which because thanks to Halo, I discovered that I liked shooters for the most. I mean, I played a couple beforehand, but Halo was the first one that I really loved. And then I remember playing the Area 51 arcade game, so I'm seeing this footage, and I'm, even though it's really blurry and it's really pixelated, I'm seeing a shotgun shooting what looks to be a very smoothly animated version of the alien that I used to shoot in the arcades, and I'm just like, oh, it's a 30-second video, but it looks so good. And that used to be most of what you got. Like, you didn't even get the press conferences. You got someone had a really crappy camera recording someone else playing the game on the show floor, so you might not even get good audio of the game.
There was no direct feedback then, no.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, how many people remember this? Like,
I mean, I can take that a step further. Back in the late 90s, when high-speed internet was still barely a thing, I remember I worked at a computer store at the time with a bunch of guys in the service department who were hardcore gamers, and it was to the point where we were actually going on either our dial-up or our crappy, really, really low-end, quote, high-speed internet. We were actually going to places like GameSpot and downloading a whole bunch of trailers and actually putting them on CD, like blank CDs, and bringing them in and making copies of the CDs. We were like, here's, you know, here's 3 hours of different trailers that we built up over the years, and it, because that was an easier way to distribute them around, and we'd hang around one of the shop computers at lunch playing the stuff off this and getting sort of hyped for it that way. That was sort of how we did it back then, and it was pretty awesome. I actually, you know, I have fond memories of that. It obviously seems archaic by today's standards, especially since, like, most of these trailers, you know, were probably like 320x200. They were like the resolution of a YouTube thumbnail, but
basically,
But it was amazing at the time, because obviously, you know, that was the best you had then, and the best you had is, you know, when it's the best is pretty damn awesome, regardless of what it is. And, it's interesting. I still have, like, I have a lot of nostalgia for E3 and that type of thing, but I get, you know, I've read a lot of the articles, at least the less cynical ones, that talk about E3 from a relevance perspective, not in the sense of being cynical about the industry and, oh, AAA games don't matter anymore perspective, but more from the end of, does it matter as much when all the big companies have the money and the easy means to do their own hype? And, I mean, we can see that already. Like, Bethesda has their own press conference for the first time ever, and they still announced Fallout 4 ahead of it to get in front of the hype.
Yep.
Like, they're getting in front of their own hype that's at the hype show, which I'm kind of like, whoa. And now that everybody can do live streams and everybody can do YouTube channels and all this other stuff, the companies are controlling their own message more and more. And the need for, I think there's an argument to be made about the relevance of E3 from the perspective of, do we need this sort of centralized place to find out about this stuff anymore? It's still good in that it gets a lot of mainstream press attention because it is such a big event, and just the size alone draws people in. But it's clear more and more that, at the very least, the big publishers are more content with distributing their message in their own way now. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it makes it easier and less sensory overload to find out about the big games throughout the year in this way. But I do kind of miss the big, you know, the press conferences back in the Xbox and PS2 era, and even the early 360 and PS3 era, where it was just 2 hours of new game after new game after new game, and you were just getting your mind blown like every 2 minutes. You were like, holy shit, they're doing that? And it's less that now, I find.
Yes and no. Part of it is because you're right. I mean, in some ways you're right, because there were always surprises. Like, I remember, I believe that was the first reveal, was the original Xbox started a E3 presentation, and they started it with Star Wars Republic Commando. And that was like the first time you heard about that game. It was like, oh wow, this game looks good. This game looks great. And it's like, guys, like, and that was at a time when I was like, I'm done with Star Wars. You know, George Lucas has ruined it. It's screwed up. Like, it's dead forever. Yeah. And then they show this and it's like, oh man, they really made George Lucas's stuff look good.
Yeah, yeah.
But totally. That's the thing. Like, that was a surprise. And yeah, they had a lot of surprises, but by the end of the Microsoft press conference, how many people do you think remembered, like, that Republic Commando was announced? You ended up needing the websites and the press just to keep those notes to remind you. And the way I worded it, speaking with someone, was I feel like the E3 has got something similar to – actually, there's going to be part of the cycle, which is a bunch of games, this E3, are going to be announced for like October or November. And by the time we hit August or September, at least half of those games are going to be pushed to February or March 2016.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. Because
most likely. I don't think the delays are over.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, either those games won't actually be ready for 2015, that's just what the publisher will hope for, or those games, like, the publisher won't have the faith that they'll be able to withstand the other big titles, because what was it, like, someone in Ubisoft said, even if you're, like, the fifth or sixth best-selling game in November, it's still better than being the top-selling game in February or March. I mean, I feel like it was someone from Ubisoft, but that's like, you're probably talking about an Assassin's Creed game. Yeah. Would some of these games really have done as well in that launch window that get delayed? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean, the fact is, like, people, because of digital distribution, that people there are people who think that the industry is not nearly as holiday driven anymore, but it still really is. Like, the holidays are, like, for a lot of retailers in the world, the holidays is where the game industry makes its money. You know, the rest of the year is leading up to hopefully bringing in a big haul around Christmas, and then that's where you turn profitable for the year. And it's still very much the case. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, because I still think there's value in E3, but I still get hyped over it, just because I don't get hyped over E3 in particular. I just, as someone who lives and breathes this stuff as his primary hobby, I just really like hearing about new stuff that's coming, and I just love getting the information, you know, thrown at me, and I just love absorbing all this stuff. I get excited around E3 time, not because of the show in particular, just because this is the biggest info dump time of the year for this stuff, and it's that aspect of it that I really like. And I think for most sort of really big time hardcore game enthusiasts, it's probably similar. I don't think they necessarily care about the show. They just care about everything that comes out of it.
Yeah, and I think for me, E3, like, I've said it to people several times, and I have a job where I fortunately can take 2 days to watch press conferences off from work. Though whenever anyone asks me, I just tell them I'm taking vacation.
Yeah, I told my work I'm taking a week off, and I told my work it's to do some online IT training, which is true. But the fact that I could have done this any week, and the fact that I did it over E3 week is no coincidence.
I don't think they'll understand that. For me, it's like E3's a holiday. Yeah. I mean, it really is, and that's I think, and part of it is, I mean, it's a big marketing thing. It's a big. But I mean, I think
you're, I know that, right, though. That's the, like, thing. I'm well aware of what it is.
Oh, yeah. And it's not like I'm not going to be cynical when I look at some of this stuff either. I mean, I'm going to, by hell, before EA's done, I guarantee I'm going to be like, oh, look, it's another trailer that's absolutely no gameplay, all pre-rendered cinematic. I mean, it's going to happen.
And it's going to be, you know, the show is going to be a lot of, oh, look, it's another Assassin's Creed. Look, it's another Call of Duty. It's another, you know, yearly sequel X. I mean, there's going to be that, but I'm fully cognizant of that. And, you know, the stuff that I carry, even though it is E3, there is stuff that I can look at and go, yeah, I don't care as much about that, and I just won't pay as much attention to it.
But, I mean, I like the idea of more press, because in this day and age of streaming, I like the press conferences better, because, I mean, looking back at the early aughts, like, again, when I was younger, all I could really get was those small clips of, here's a little bit of gameplay of this game, and you have to glean and imagine from there. And, I'm trying to remember other games that I ended up looking at, because, and here's another, I don't know if I actually have younger listeners, but even if it's just like, you know, a trip down, holy crap, I'm old lane, like just remembering that there was no real YouTube then, or at least it wasn't a big thing. Like, I don't think YouTube was really becoming a thing until I was about to graduate high school.
Mid-2000s. It didn't exist until mid-2000s. So,
no,
yeah.
I was still in high school when it existed, so it was around 2002, 2003. It has to at least be that old, because I know it was around then. To the internet.
They say fact-checking will ruin the podcast. It was, YouTube in particular was founded in 2005, early 2005. It's 10 years old, interestingly.
Then what the hell am I remembering?
There were other video things before YouTube. Like, YouTube's what made it a hyper big deal, but there was stuff before YouTube. There were other things.
But I could have sworn YouTube, whatever. I mean, I guess I really am getting old.
I remember using GameSpot when they used to use RealPlayer. That's how friggin' old I am.
Yeah, that's what I'm... I remember, like, doing my best to avoid having to download QuickTime, to avoid having to download RealPlayer, but...
Oh, yeah.
And then having to deal with codecs.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing how, until I had to actually edit video again for my own YouTube channel, I forgot about what it was like to deal with codecs, because all you needed was Flash Player.
Yep. It used to be a different world, man. You wanted to watch video, you had to work for it.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's actually one of the things, like, I don't think, if we did not have YouTube, Flash, and streaming video like that, if we still had to rely on the different codecs and the RealPlayer, I don't think E3 would be streaming like it is today. I don't think we would have the streaming that we have today.
Oh, no, this is streaming and YouTube, and that is only popular because they simplified it. They made it easy. You just go to a website, hit play, done. If that wasn't there, they would not be the phenomenon they are, without question.
So,
I do love how they have, like, I love the fact that the technology advances that we've had in just the last 10 years allow things, like, it used to be a couple of years ago, I used to watch, when Giant Bomb would do their thing, when they would do what we're going to do. They would stream the podcasts and talk over them and provide their live commentary and interact with their chat. That's what I used to do a couple of years ago. And now we have the means where, for basically nothing, you know, we as people with no budget and no internet fame whatsoever can do the same thing. And so can anybody. And that, you know, that level of, I hate to use the term democratization because that's kind of been overused, but you know what I mean, that the ability for just anybody to be able to do that kind of thing if they want, that's only really been a thing in the last couple of years. And I think that's fascinating, that it allows the fans to cover E3 in their own way that only the press had the means to do before, which I think is fascinating.
And that's the thing, if you're following the right people, you can follow people that are doing it better than the press can.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're following without most people, you're probably following someone that does it worse than the press can. I mean, that's just the reality of it. But that's the thing. Like, you're right. Because
allow anybody to do it, there are, you know, people who are good at it and people that are not, and they all have an opportunity to be heard. So
yeah. For better or worse.
Which is good and bad.
But you mentioned no budget. I mean, you can see my cam right now, and you can see me waving. It's like, I got no frame rate here. Yeah. And yet that no budget is what people are going
to
be seeing.
I mean, it was only 2 years ago, I didn't have enough upload to be able to live stream anything at all, you know. And now it's dead simple for me to do with room to spare. But, you know, only 2 years ago, I was begging for an internet package that allowed me to even do it at all. So it's really amazing. And I like the fact that, you know, E3, because that's the funny thing. A lot of people don't realize that E3 is actually an industry trade show. Like, it's not even, like, there's a lot of hype that goes on there, but though they're doing it to a little bit this year, E3 is generally not open to the public. Like, people can't, your average Joe can't just show up at the show and go and interact with stuff. It's supposed to be a trade and press event. But now, in this weird way, the advent of streaming and YouTube and all this stuff has sort of allowed it to become sort of a public show, but from an arm's length perspective, which is kind of neat. You can still have fans and consumers interact with the show in a very meaningful way, even though they're not there. And it's really fascinating how that's happened and how it causes a lot more discussion about the stuff that's out there and allows people to a trailer comes out, it allows people in real time to dissect it, every little piece, and it's really interesting.
I just want to take before I continue with that line of thought, I just want to briefly say also, if you do follow me and Jerry's streaming, and I'll be a guest on there, if you do follow all of that, turn it into a drinking game. Every time one of us says the funny thing is or the interesting thing is,
you'll
take
die.
A shot.
You'll die.
You'll die.
You have a dialysis machine at your side because Jesus. Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, and I think the real interesting thing is, like what I've been actually thinking of as we've just been talking the last few minutes, E3, you're right, it is supposed to be a trade show, and while that never is completely the case, like, people get in there that shouldn't. One of my favorite episodes of the Jumping the Shark podcast was back when they had, I can never remember the man's name. Oh, I think he's doing board games now. I can never remember his name. But I remember he was complaining about all the DigiPen students being there that had no right to be there, that were just making a big deal, like, getting all the free swag. And that's the thing. You hear these journalists talk, and it's like, you know who doesn't belong there because they're just sitting there so desperately trying to get a free T-shirt. And it's like,
At GameStop, who somehow gets a pass, you know, kind of thing.
The assistant manager at GameStop that is lucky enough to go to E3 for business reasons.
Exactly.
But that's like the most public it gets. But then you take PAX East into account, or even Gamescom and Tokyo Game Shows have their public aspect of it. And I think for E3, I guess the press are also the only people that can get some of the bigger, deeper information, like the interviews, and I guess they have to write up what they play, but I don't know, like, it does make the question of just how relevant they are when you can find the gameplay videos on the net that you really want to see, or you even have, like, last year, Nintendo had their Treehouse Live, where they had developers sit down with them, and they were asking the questions and showing the games off, and that was much more interesting when you got to see the producer and director of Bayonetta 2 demonstrating what Bayonetta 2 was going to play like. So you get to see the game, but instead of having some journalists trying to figure it out, and granted, though, that does give the developer more control. It does give them more control of a vertical slice. Sometimes you'll go to a preview event, and the developer will be there to be over your shoulder and say, okay, you want to do this, you want to do this, to make sure you never get stuck. So you're always in the flow of the game, and when you're done with it, you can come back and you'll be like, yeah, man, that game was great. I had a great time. And then when you sit down at home, you're like, oh, shit, I have no idea where to go now. Because you don't have the developer to tell you. And there's a little bit of that even when you go to someplace like PAX East. It depends on what who's there, but usually you don't have, like, the developers there. Usually just have people that were given a script.
Yeah. I honestly think Nintendo, it was funny, when Nintendo announced, I guess this is their second or third year they're not doing a press conference. I can't remember, but...
Well, they are, but it's not on stage. It's their Nintendo Direct.
Well, it's a different thing. They're not doing a traditional press event, I guess, is the way to phrase it. And, yeah, and I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was a couple of years ago, when Nintendo announced that they were going to be not doing a traditional press conference anymore, that they were going to focus on doing their little direct Nintendo Direct live stream things. I remember a lot of people in the games press, and I mean, the games press, a lot of them like to kind of beat up on Nintendo anyway, but a lot of them were very much like, oh, this is a desperation move, and Nintendo is not doing this because they don't have as much to show, which was not entirely false, but, you know, it was that and them saying, oh, Nintendo's doing this because, you know, because they don't have a lot to show and they don't want to be embarrassed by having a tiny press conference. But I personally think, and more of the press has been saying this lately, that for a company that is very much rooted in old tradition in many ways when it comes to many modern things, that a lot of people think that was actually a remarkably progressive modern move for Nintendo, getting into, you know, Nintendo, who has had their quips with YouTubers over their videos, is actually embraced online streaming early. And most people think it actually did the best for them because they had less to show, but they were able to show it in a much more polished way and focus more on it and not have to rapid fire their way through a press conference. And people love the Nintendo Directs. I think they're fantastic because they're really professionally done. Like, they look really nice. And I love the fact that Nintendo, even though they're a very conservative Japanese company in many ways, never has a problem putting, you know, Satoru Iwata, the top dog there, out in front of a camera. You know, even though he's not super skilled with English, they put him out there and he very, you know, you can tell he's interested in what he's talking about, and, you know, very humbly asks people to watch everything and, you know, please enjoy this trailer, which I think is really cool. And I think it's a very smart move for them, and I'm wondering if we're going to see more of that in the future, especially as, I don't know if, because part of the big reason the press conferences were so big a couple of years ago was because Spike TV was airing them. I don't know if E3 has a TV presence this year or not, because Spike TV's not... Are they even Spike TV anymore, or did they rebrand again?
No, Spike TV's still around.
Okay. I don't know if they're doing it this year or not.
I don't know if they're... Because I think partially because Jeff Kelly seems to be doing his own individual
thing. He's gone independent, kind of.
Basically, yeah.
And he's partnered with YouTube this year, actually, because YouTube has like an E3 hub. That might be... I still have to figure out what press conference stream to use for our thing, and I might use YouTube's for it if there's no commentary. But, yeah, he's kind of doing his own online thing now, so I wonder if these are even going to have a television thing anymore, because some were speculating that was the reason, you know, the Microsofts and the Sonys and the Ubisofts were still doing the traditional thing is because it was being broadcast on television. But I'm wondering if we won't see more of them focus more on these things, because these press conferences, I mean, they're obscenely expensive. They rent out large theaters, they have crazy light shows and huge screens and everything else. Like, they must cost, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them are in the, you know, $1 million or $2 when, and doing that type of thing on a live stream certainly can't be more than that.
I just want to point out that if you Google Gamers with Jobs, the direct approach, you'll find my second article for the website, published June 19th, 2013, where I discuss how Nintendo was following in Konami's footsteps, the leader of Konami, in doing things digitally. Because Konami were the first ones to do a digital press conference. And
You're right.
I think Nintendo might have actually gotten the idea from them, because it was like, you know what? Granted, Konami wasn't as good at it, but Konami was
hysterically bad at it.
But they even reached out to, what was it, like the Mega 64 is the YouTube sketch group?
Yeah.
To do that, have them do something every year. And yeah, it was better than their previous press conferences. You went from 1 million troops.
1 million units.
I feel so bad for that guy. He was trying, like, as soon as he got up there, he was trying to be
forced to go on stage there. They took a bunch of guys who were
they
never
could not afford the glitz and glamour. They tried.
No, and they took a bunch of guys who don't do press conferences and said, go out there and hype this. And they were like, I don't know what to do.
No interpreter. Just go up and try and speak English.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Nintendo clearly took it quite a bit more seriously than that. And
definitely.
They've done very well with it.
But that's the thing. Konami did much better when they had their streaming one, though. And yeah, you even mentioned having the president. I remember not long after that Konami press conference, I remember talking to a friend, or one of the Konami press conferences, talking to a friend of mine while I was drunk, excitedly, because I remember just enough from my Japanese class that I'm watching the Japanese stream, and the president of Konami is there, and he introduces himself to the audience with Watashiwa. And in this is actually important, because I was so drunk when I told this to my friend, and yet I was so excited. He seemed interested. But what I learned in my Japanese class is basically, if you're talking to your superior, then you say watashi wa.
Okay.
Otherwise, you say like boku no wa. Boku no wa is what you say when you're the superior, basically.
Right.
So the president is talking to the customer and saying watashi wa, which means the suggestion is that the mentality is that the president is below the customer, which is a really interesting way of looking at the company to customer relations.
Kind of true, or should be true when you think about it.
It should be. It makes a lot of sense. And I remember hearing that and be like, that is so amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, now it doesn't really mean too much, because Konami's like, screw all y'all, we're doing
video
slot
games. What? Yeah.
Which is weird, because after they booted Kojima, I thought they had job listings for more Metal Gear stuff.
They do, but no one knows what that means, if it's Metal Gear slot machines or Metal Gear mobile games, or who knows. There is a rumor, too, that apparently Platinum Games has an announcement coming, and the rumor is that's going to be a Metal Gear Rising 2, which I'd be like, damn straight, but I wonder.
Part of it's because I would rather that they have another Nintendo collaboration, because
Me too.
love their work with Nintendo so far.
Yeah,
me too. I would
too.
Love to have Wonderful 102, naturally.
Yeah. I'd love to have Wonderful 102 and Bayonetta 3.
Well, but, that's too soon for Bayonetta 3.
It is too soon, but yeah, that would be nice as well. I mean, my buddy Dan and I were also saying we'd really love if it was Vanquish 2, but Sega owns Vanquish, and we know Sega also kind of doesn't care about video games anymore, so we're like, nope.
Some video games.
Some video games, but not ones like that.
They clearly don't care enough about Sonic, because there's another Sonic Boom game coming out, as opposed to another Sonic Lost Worlds coming out, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
yeah,
no, even disregarding that, I mean, Platinum Games also it was announced today, like, well, today, by now it'll be Sunday, and that's the funny thing, like a lot of prediction kind of stuff that will be irrelevant by the time this episode goes up.
Yeah,
but they have a game called Scalebound, which is evidently pushed back to Gamescom, and I'm wondering if that's just because there's not enough for people to see yet.
Yeah.
Or
I know Platinum said audience. Their announcement is of a new game, so it's not going to be Scalebound.
It's not going to be Scalebound.
Yeah.
Which right now, that's the one thing that could really convince me. Well, okay, that, and if they announce a Rise of the Tomb Raider bundle during a period in the holiday season where I will have the cash to buy it.
That, I would wager that. Might that. Get I think me, that's a safe bet.
That
Microsoft
might
is going to want to hype the hell out of that.
Because otherwise, I am pretty happy with the PS4. Even though there's like it's the weird thing. Like, I'm happiest with my Wii U, because that's what has the most unique experiences. And it's because it's Nintendo.
But and that's PS4, that's the one thing I really hope we do get out of the Nintendo Direct is that... Is that obviously Wii U owners just want more friggin' games, but I do hope we get more information about more interesting new ideas, because Nintendo has already said that the new Zelda will not be at E3 this year. God damn you people.
Hey, I'm completely fine.
I know.
With them holding
get it
out.
Right. Take all the time you need. Get it right. I totally agree. I'd just like to see something, or just have them talk more about it. But I understand. I understand. But I do hope they announce some more new stuff, because I actually saw a tweet today from Wario64, who apparently Splatoon is actually number 5 on the NPD retail chart this month. Splatoon seems to – for a system that has a really bad install base, Splatoon seems to be doing pretty damn well, and that is a totally – new
did
game.
Did you see who it's on? Who it's above? I mean, granted, it came out on the 29th, so it had 3 days to sell.
Yeah,
in May.
I didn't hear that.
But the games that it's above are all like old games.
Yeah,
it is the bottom of the games of May, which is not surprising again because it's the third, only had 3 days compared to Mortal Kombat 10 and Witcher 3. But I think it was even a old game was number four.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit beat out.
The thing is, for me, it's that a Wii U game charted at all. Two, a Wii U game charted when there was only 3 months, or 3 months, 3 days in the month for it to sell. And three, that it was a Wii U game that was an all new IP from Nintendo. Which is pretty damn
amazing.
They've
been marketing heavily.
And I'm hoping that performance is going to show Nintendo that, you know, people love their Marios and their Zeldas and their everything else, but yeah, you can do new stuff and still do really well with it. And I do hope we see more than that. I mean, I really hope we see some kind of new Metroid game as well, but, I do hope that they've gotten a little bit of a boost for new ideas based on this, because Nintendo has shown that they have the talent that they don't need to rely on their old staples to bring in the money. You know, Splatoon has shown that they can do new stuff and really impress people.
You know what? Okay, firstly, two things. Firstly, I hope in June we see Splatoon be a real contender for Batman. Mm-hmm. Because I believe those are the only two really big game. Well, Batman's the one big game in June coming out.
Yeah.
So I hope that's where we'll really get to see it clash, and hopefully prove, because it is a big hit right now.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would call it a system seller.
Yeah.
It is that much fun.
Yeah. It's a damn good game. If I had somebody coming to me right now asking to buy what system they should buy for their kids in particular, I would recommend a Wii U based on that and some other stuff that it's got on it already.
And not even that. I mean, it's just in general, it's like, look, do you want to play like your average kind of game that keeps coming out year after year? Because that's the thing. Like, I like some of the games I'm playing on PlayStation 4, but yep, thus far, My best experiences have been, I mean, that's the thing, like, I was playing Destiny last generation, I was playing Alien Isolation last generation, and even when you get to some of the newer games, people make a big deal out of Bloodborne. Bloodborne is another version of Dark Souls, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, no, it's not, it's completely different, because
I will say that it is, I don't go as extreme as those people, I will say that it is different, it's the same basic formula, but it mixes it up a fair bit, but you would only know that if you were an enthusiast of that series, so.
And that's the thing, it's the same general kind of game, it's like, you can play something like that.
Yes.
Splatoon killed my Destiny addiction.
Yeah.
Because it feels so different and so rewarding to play. Yeah. Like, I got to
it is different. Like, there's nothing like it. And, like, this is what I told somebody the other day. I'm like, think about everything related to Splatoon that is antithetical to Nintendo. It is a shooter title. It's a third-person shooter, but it's a shooter title.
The emphasis is purely online.
It's an online game.
They tell you
Nintendo
to play online before they say play single-player.
Yeah,
they say, go right ahead and play online.
And, like, it's an online shooter game, and Nintendo still managed to make something completely unique that no one had seen before out of it. I mean, that just shows the talent of those people. Like, it's a genre that's not in their wheelhouse. It's an online game, which everybody knows online has never been Nintendo's wheelhouse. And it's friggin' killer. And it really shows the kind of development talent they have there. And I hope it's a wake-up call to Nintendo to give those people more freedom and to say, you know, you got cool ideas, let's talk about them, and not necessarily how we can shoehorn that into a Mario context. I think that'd be amazing.
Well, I've said it before, one of the things that this makes me optimistic about Nintendo's future, because this is specifically headed up by younger developers in their studio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they intentionally gave this, and even A Link Between Worlds, it had Miyamoto and Eiji Aonuma, mm-hmm, but it was largely headed up by younger developers.
Yep.
So I feel like Nintendo is trying to really pass that stuff off to younger developers so that, I mean, let's face it, if we're getting old, Shigeru Miyamoto, Satoru Iwata,
they're all getting
old
too.
Yeah, exactly. You got to pass the torch at some point.
Yeah. I think that's good. And I think at this time when they have, you know, where the, you know, they lost money for a little while, they're finally turning a profit again, at least temporarily. I think this is actually the best time to try new ideas when they don't have, insane, like, Wii level profits that they have to maintain anymore, and shareholder expectation is a little bit more tempered than it was before. I think this is actually a good time for them to try out new ideas and to build stuff back up, and hopefully build up these new ideas and these new IPs that they can then push on their NX platform whenever they get around to talking about that.
I don't want to spend too much time talking about Nintendo, because otherwise we'll be sitting here and this will be the Nintendo podcast.
That's true.
Those have the potential to
get to
that.
Another point that you were talking about. I mean, I agree with you that I think predictions on this podcast are kind of a waste because they're going to be
this
irrelevant.
This will be
all the
up
time
by Sunday.
Up.
Yeah.
I mean, we can maybe do when we do the live streams. Maybe we can do like a few minutes before the shows start. You know, just kind of rhyming stuff off.
What
on
we're
the
looking
go,
forward
but,
to seeing, and you know, but, I think. I just look forward to what I want to see in the show is just a good time. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, what I'm actually expecting to see is for Microsoft and Sony to... It's not going to be about motion control. It's going to be about VR. Yeah. And you're going to see HoloLens. You're going to see the Morpheus. Someone else already said it. The Morpheus is probably going to be there, and it's going to be showcasing No Man's Sky with the Morpheus experience.
Yeah.
And I actually, like, I'm looking forward to seeing what Bethesda has. Like, and I'm not even that much of a Bethesda fan. Like, I guarantee you they're going to at least tease the next Elder Scrolls. We're going to see some stuff of Fallout 4. We're going to see Dishonored 2, I guarantee you.
Yes.
I am so let down that someone told me that Prey 2 is evidently canceled. Because that's what I wanted to see more of.
I did too, yeah. Yeah,
but and they have. I am curious about what the new Doom looks like.
Yeah.
So like Bethesda's got a lot of stuff that I'm like, you know what? I may not be a fan of their open world role playing games, but I do think they're a good publisher. They publish some interesting titles.
Yeah.
And then they got some stuff that I want to see what it looks like. I want to see how it turns out. Yep. So Bethesda, I'm looking forward to. Square Enix, I'm looking forward to because they've proven to be a good publisher of they've done well with Eidos.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they'll even have a teaser for the next episode of Life is Strange. I mean, that's proven to be
That'd
pretty
be interesting.
Decently.
I don't know how well that's sold or not. It's critically done very well. I've loved that so far. But
I mean,
I don't.
That's never like a good judge either, whether something's critically done well, because.
No.
I mean, it has to have done at least as well as any of the Telltale games, but at the same time, you could tell it's. Done at a better and higher budget.
It's a different level than a lot of the Telltale stuff. I hope it's done well. Yeah, I mean, for me, honestly, the main thing I want to see out of this show is just more games and more announcements of new games, not them hyping up stuff that we already know is coming later this year or that at least is supposed to come later this year. I mean,
I imagine everyone's got at least one big bomb that they're saving. I think Nintendo's the ones that are trying to hold things. Like, there's already been the leak, and it was a leak, evidently, of the idea of a Hyrule Warriors for the Nintendo 3DS. So Nintendo's, I mean, you know you're going to see information on Xenoblade Chronicles X. You know you're going to be seeing information on the new Star Fox, possibly even a release date.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of stuff you know you're going to be seeing, but then it's like, look, if we're going to see a new Metroid game, it's probably, like, you guys can all thank me, because the end of my Metroid video coming up is talking about what they can do with the franchise in the future. And whatever I say, it probably won't be live until after, and they're going to come in and completely just... I mean, I don't make any predictions or anything or any assumptions, but it's like they're just going to come in there and it's going to be like, well, that made sure my video is obsolete before it went live.
Yeah.
I mean,
the main
thing
is, like, the problem I have is, like, I have said for a while that I think all the various people that you say, you know, that... these systems don't have enough to play on them, and they need more stuff. I still think if you can't find a good selection of stuff to play on the new machines, you're not looking hard enough. But at the same time, compared to other consoles at this point in their life, I do think there has been a bit of a dearth of new announcements, or a lack of new announcements, and obviously a bunch of games that we knew were coming that all of a sudden got delayed, and in many cases delayed again. And I do hope that we see more new announcements of stuff that doesn't even have to have a date on it, just saying, hey, yo, we're working on this new stuff over here. And hopefully it's stuff that is, you know, even though we all know how risk-averse the AAA industry is right now, hopefully there is a decent amount of, hey, also, this is all new stuff as well. This is stuff you haven't seen before. This is not... it's not how are we innovating on this franchise that's on its ninth sequel. It's how, you know, it's here is something completely different. I would very much like to see that. And that's always what I get the most excited for. I do want details on the sequels I'm interested in, and I do want to hear more about that stuff. But the stuff I always get super excited for is the anticipation of what are they going to announce that I haven't thought of. And, there's been less of that in recent years, to be sure, but I hope... I remember when the new consoles were first coming out, there was a lot of speculation, and apparently some of this was backed up by, you know, industry insiders, whatever that means, but that a lot of the big publishers were actually waiting to see how these new machines did, because a lot of them had bought into the hype that consoles were dead and that mobile was taking over everything and that there was no point in developing console games anymore, and that a lot of the big publishers were only doing their safe bets until they knew if there was going to be an install base. And these new consoles have done better in the same amount of time than their previous generation counterparts. And the hope is that once they saw that was going on, they would suddenly start greenlighting a lot of these newer projects and saying, okay, we know there's enough people here to make this worth a shot. Let's give it a try. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I hope it is. And I hope that this is the E3 where they'll finally start talking about that stuff that they were holding on to. And this will give people a lot of new stuff to get excited for. That's what I hope we see. Whether or not we will, well, we'll see what happens.
Well, unfortunately, that's one of the things that Sony has already said. They don't have much coming out this year.
Yeah.
I think compared to last year, Nintendo might not have as big of a thing because everyone was expecting Zelda for this year.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the question is, like, everyone talks about you need your big holiday release. And Nintendo already had seen an uptick when they released Mario Kart last May.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and now Splatoon is that big uptick.
Yeah. I don't know if Nintendo needs really a big holiday game. They'll have something for the holiday for sure, but I don't think it's... Nintendo, I mean, what people always is Nintendo plays by their own rules, right? And that's very true to a degree.
And it's also, what's the race? Because at this point, Nintendo's definitely not competing with Xbox One or PS4. They're just doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And people, honestly, if you have the Wii U and the PS4 and the Xbox One, this generation, I mean, the only way the Wii U is not being here we are talking about Nintendo again. Only way Wii U is not being played is if you just don't like those kinds of games, which means why are you listening to my podcast? But no. I mean, it just to me, if because here's the thing, like, and we've already joked about it, like everyone's already like people talk about, you know, who won E3, who won, like, dude, honestly, it doesn't matter.
It's really not a competition. I only care if gamers win.
And honestly, like, I remember, I used to write for Wii60.com. I used to be part of that whole group. And you know what? Who in the long run won that? Well, for me personally, turns out Sony won that generation. It kind of turns out Sony won that generation because there wasn't a lot of exclusive stuff on the Wii. Well, then again, it was always different on the Wii. And then there's, like, the 3DS, for example. Like, for a while there, the 3DS was my favorite gaming platform. It had everything that I wanted on there. So, right now, this year, I guarantee you, Sony's not going to have all that much interesting. Microsoft might, but I'm skeptical of Microsoft because they started out strong in the past, and then they kind of burn out once they found their two franchises. And that's the thing, too. Like, okay, people are already freaking out. Like, yeah, Gears of War remastered. It's like, you know what? I don't I don't care. I'm not buying a system for that. And no. I am burnt. I'm finally burnt out on Halo because, you know what? I got Destiny for my Bungie shooting needs. So it really comes down to, okay, like, what do I want to get an Xbox One? Like, because I got a PS4 because I needed a next-gen machine, and that's where all my friends were. And if I was going to play stuff like Destiny, I needed to get the PS4 to play with my friends. So, that's what it comes down to, is basically the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One for me were an upgrade, and now it's like, okay, what games do you have that I can get excited about? But are the same thing I've kind of always expected. I mean, maybe I'm just downplaying... Maybe I'm downplaying the feel of... Because, like, what was it? Like, a few episodes... It was some episodes ago, you and I spoke with Erica, and largely discovered that I was very much a mechanical-based player over narrative. And Nintendo gets the mechanics right. And you know what? Destiny, it got the mechanics right for me. Mm-hmm. And it is something that I really think about these days. Like, I sat down... Like, the Final Fantasy 15 demo, there's something... I am hoping we get a 2015 release date for Final Fantasy 15. If we do, then that is my game of the fall. That is the game I will... Because that demo... This weekend, I need to put aside time to play the updated demo because that demo was so incredible. It worked so well. It played so much better than I was expecting. So, I mean, that's the thing. To me, it's those mechanics. And a lot of Western games, like Battlefield Hardline is a recent example. I liked it. I mean, you can go onto my blog and you can gamertag.net. You can find I wrote about it. And ultimately, it was a not-too-bad stealth game. But it wasn't really a noteworthy great game for the most part. It was good. It was not noteworthy. So, like, it's hard to recommend. It's, like, it's not bad. But at the same time, it's, like, it's just creative. It's taking a shooter and doing something that could have been more interesting if they were allowed more creative freedom. Versus playing Splatoon, which is like, okay, this is taking the competitive multiplayer team-based shooter and completely changing the focus and how all the mechanics tie into encouraging the player to approach it differently mentally, kinesthetically, like just everything's different about it. So, I mean, when it comes to stepping into E3, like I'm always going to be excited because I always get excited about the prospect of new games. You know what? That's the thing that I always love E3 because you see a lot of first trailers. You see a lot of first time with gameplay. But now look at Batman Arkham Knight. That game was first announced and I was pretty decently psyched. Now I see the trailer and I'm actually questioning. It's like, do I really want to buy this game?
Or at least right away.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure I'll enjoy it. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I need to pimp out. And I was not bought out, but Best Buy Gamers Club. If you get Best Buy Gamers Club, $30 for 2 years, 20% off brand new games and amiibo. So I got Splatoon for $48 instead of $60. So if I get Batman Arkham Knight, it'll be for $48 instead of $60. So that is something I will recommend to anyone listening to this podcast. Great way to save money. When they first announced it, it was like over $100 for those 2 years, but now it's like $30 for 2 years. It's like, dude, that pays for itself real quick.
Yeah, Gamers Club in Canada only means you get extra reward zone points if you buy games, which are $10 more expensive up here anyway because our dollar dropped slightly, so we have to mark everything up $10, but I'm not bitter.
Hey, you could be from Australia.
True.
Though if you're from Australia, evidently you can get, you know, amiibo there, actually.
They actually are available there?
Yep. Just found out through Monkey Boy on the Game of the Jobs forums. But anyways, generally I think that might be the thing. Is I really do love – I'm skeptical of hype in its own way, but I'm always able to get excited for E3. I'm sorry. I did go on a bit of a tangent, and I don't even know how or where. Maybe it was just pent up. It has been a while since we last podcasted. So, but no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I am excited for E3, and I do have some fond memories of sitting in my college dorm room watching videos, and I remember after seeing the first Halo 2 gameplay, the single-player campaign gameplay, I remember seeing that, and sometime within that year, I ended up having a dream that I was playing Halo 2. I remember, and that's how big I was a fan of all that stuff. So, I don't know, the hype does get to me. And it's also just like a celebration of just like, yeah, it's commercialism, but it's also just a celebration. It's like, yeah, man, games are awesome, exactly. And I want to buy them.
And that's how I see it. Like, as long as you know, like, the marketing only really works if you don't know you're being marketed to, you know? And that's the thing. I know what E3 is. I know it's a big marketing fest, but I know what it is and I embrace it. I take the info that I want out of it. You know, I get excited about what excites me, not what they're telling me to get excited about. And I just enjoy it because, like I said, it's a big info dump about video games. And as someone who loves video games, I just, you know, love hearing everything I can about them. So that's what it's about for me, is just what we learn. And I'm hoping there's a good amount of that to learn this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, I think I'm going to cut it short this week. We'll just edit there. And so again, Jerry, we're going to be streaming starting, what was that, 10 at night?
It's 10 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. I might try to start the stream up for that one at least, maybe a little bit earlier, both to test to everything to make sure that it's working, and also if we want to, you know, pile in and say, hey, what do we expect to see here? Kind of do off-the-cuff predictions then. That might be kind of cool. But that's when the main show gets underway, and we'll be doing that. And like I said, if you Google E3 2015 press conferences, you can find schedules all over the place, and we'll be lining up with those.
Yep.
Yep.
And that'll be where?
That will be at twitch.tv/PX Abstraction. And I'll put a blog post up and a little quick little placeholder video on my YouTube channel as well to remind people. So, but that's where we'll be at.
As for me, a reminder that, yes, at Too Many Games, you can visit them at TooManyGames.com. But on June 27th, Saturday, I will be having a panel called Let's Talk Games Writing, where I will talk games writing. You can even get a bit of a primer on my blog. Just look for the Let's Talk Games Writing posts. And that reminds me, you can just check out more of my stuff at www.gamertag.net. If I was a very, very, very hardworking boy this weekend, there might be a new Metroid Ramble Pack 64 video. I doubt it, but it is, at the time of this recording, about 50%, which means it should be much closer by the time you listen. I'm going to try and work hard this weekend. I'm trying to get it out there. I'm almost there. I can almost taste it. And I feel so bad that it's taken this long to get another video up. I'm going to see if I can change my approach to this content providing a little bit so I can put more content up. But yes, the video is almost done. I'm quite proud of what I've managed to write up here and what I'm putting together. Cool. So if you've ever enjoyed Metroid, you should look forward to it. It ought to be good. If you don't care about Metroid, then shame on you. You are lesser the human being for it. And of course, next week, you can expect me and Jerry again, and you can also expect, again, Lainey from Too Many Games. She'll be joining us to give us her thoughts about E3, and also to share a little bit about what Too Many Games is. So, all right, that should be all from us. And the music from tonight, you know what? I think I'm going to go with tonight's music is the opening theme from Log Horizon, because I just finished watching that. And, you know, database, whoa. So, all right, everyone. Thanks for listening. I hope you all enjoy E3. I hope you get to tune in. I hope you get to hear this enough to tune in on time.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much, and have a good night, everyone.
E3 hype!